Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Sparkplug Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know magazine, the publication which celebrates women business owners by bringing their brands to life and giving them a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. Our show today is brought to you by Ankle and Foot Centers of Georgia. Dr. Jocelyn Curry wants you to know that foot pain is not normal. If you want to get moving again without pain, give her a call today at 770-981-9011. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with attorney Tanya Nebo with the Nebo Firm. And matter of fact, my guest today is a native of St. Paul, Minnesota. She's a graduate of Columbia University and the University of Virginia Law School, or the University of Virginia School of Law, excuse me. Today, she is the managing partner at Nebo Law. Her firm's primary practice areas are small business, corporate, franchisee representation, and commercial real estate. Nebo Law helps their clients successfully buy, sell, and operate privately owned small businesses, including franchises. We're so honored to have on the phone today one of the newest women business owners in the People You Need to Know magazine network of first-class business professionals. Attorney Tanya Nebo, welcome to Sparkplug Radio.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Fantastic, and I'm trying to get better.
Very good. Very good.
Well, Attorney Nebo, we know you're extremely busy, so I want to get right into it. Is that okay?
Let's get into it.
All right. Well, let's be clear on this. Now, what we're talking about here is when you say get your business in order, to what types of businesses or business owners are you referring to?
I'm talking about two different groups here. We've got the people who work for themselves and then the people who operate enterprises that consist of more than themselves. And the key thing here is the mindset of the operator. I'm talking about people who want what they're doing to become bigger and better, people who want what they're doing to actually grow. So if someone views what they're doing as kind of a hobby or a side hustle or just an interesting project or something that they're doing for themselves, then there's no need to really call it a business because that's not really the mindset that they're coming from. It's not about growth. It's not so much about expansion. So the bottom line is that we're talking about enterprises that are expected to grow in revenue, impact, and value. So really it is a mindset kind of thing.
All right. So what do you mean when you say get your business in order?
I mean, I'm talking about setting up your business and operating it so that it is positioned to be protected and to protect the personal assets of the owners. So, you know, you don't want to lose sight of why you're in business in the first place and why you took the step of actually setting up the business. The purpose of that is to have protection in terms of personal liability. You want the entity to be something that exists separately from yourself. And, you know, so when I say get your business in order, it means that you need to make sure that that entity operates on its own and is distinctly separate from you so that you can protect the growth of the business, but you can also protect your personal assets in the process.
All right. Is there something special about 2016? In other words, why is it this year? Why is this year so important for someone to get their business in order?
You know, there's actually nothing particularly special about 2016, except that it's the right now. It's the year that we're in. It's the time that you have. And, you know, sometimes we say that we want to get all of these things done, and we want this to happen, and we want to see these changes in our lives or in our businesses. And at some point, we have to stop talking about it. At some point, you have to actually do it. And what's a better time to do it than the now? There are no guarantees as to what you will have later all you know is what you have available to you now. So 2016 is really just a metaphor for the present, the now. You know?
I like that. The now, immediately, if not sooner, right?
Yeah, immediately, if not sooner. Of course, you can't do everything all at one time, but you've got to start taking, got to do something. Got to do something. Some of those things that are on the list that you know you need to take care of, or some parts of your business that you know are a little messy, or you have some disputes that are unresolved and you've been putting them off, at some point you have to say, this is when I am going to get this done. I'm going to address this. I'm not going to put my head in the sand about this anymore. I'm not going to delay anymore. I'm going to address this and get this taken care of.
All right. Well, what are some common ways that even successful and profitable businesses can be out of order?
There are a few. One of the a key one is not having organizational documents in order. And organizational documents, I don't want to assume that people know what I'm talking about when I say that, but I'm referring to making sure that you have an actual business entity formed and established with the Secretary of State. The most common entities, as you know, I'm sure, are the corporation or a limited liability company. But I'll tell you, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I set up this company, and we're good to go with the state. Everything's fine. Well, when I do a little research, I find that what they did was a name reservation. Let's say all they did was reserve the name with the Secretary of State, and that's all it is a reservation of the name, that it allows you to put the name on hold for 30 days while you properly file the other documents that actually establish the entity. So first, when I say organizational documents, I mean making sure that you actually have an entity set up with the Secretary of State. And secondly, if you did actually set up an entity with the state or have it set up by an attorney, which you hopefully did, that you've maintained the entity over the years. It's not something where you just set it up one time and it stays in place year after year after year. You have to maintain compliance year after year after year, and that involves paying your annual fees. And some people just don't do it, and they may overlook the email that comes from the Secretary of State every year that says, you know, hey, it's time to go ahead and pay your annual fees for your company. It's easy to miss that, and a lot of people do and don't pay the annual fees, and then it comes time for them to want to do something under the corporation. And I've unfortunately had to inform people sometimes that they don't have an entity anymore, that their entity was administratively dissolved by the Secretary of State, and that we have to then go through the process of getting it reinstated and cleaning that up. So I recently had someone want to sell some property that their entity owned, their company. It was an LLC, and that they had a purchase agreement and everything in place in order to sell this property, but the company didn't exist anymore because the owner did not pay the annual registration. So make sure that you truly have an entity formed and that entity has remained in compliance over the years so that it's considered viable by the state.
All right. Well, what are the biggest risks from which business owners can protect themselves by getting their business in order?
The biggest risk is losing that limited liability protection. You know, if you're running a business and you're running it as if it's not separate from you, in that you're commingling your funds, you're sending emails out of your personal email address and your business address. You don't have letterhead. You don't have your leases in your personal name instead of in the business name, and you've got all these this kind of messiness going on. You risk the limited liability protection that you have or would have by virtue of having the business entity. Remember, some of the key purposes of setting up a separate entity are, one, to protect your personal assets, and two, for the tax benefits. You know, since I'm not a tax is not my area, so I focus on the limited liability portion. But if you don't run this as a separate entity from yourself, and something goes wrong. Let's say the business, your employee gets in a car accident using the company vehicle, and they hurt someone else, and that the injured party, of course, wants to go after what the business has. Well, if you've been operating the business kind of mingling it with your personal life, that injured person can go after not only the business assets, but they can also go after your personal assets. So your house becomes at risk, your cars become at risk, your personal savings. All of that stuff is fair game if you are running a business, if you're not very clean about keeping your personal business separate from your vocational business, so to speak. So that's one major way in which you businesses put themselves at risk. And another one I would say is just more on the practical side, it's not having the business established to run without you. So many of us are small operators and have not put in place written procedures and policies that would allow the business to function if something were to go wrong. So, you know, for those who are listening, ask yourself, what would happen to your business if you were to get hit by a bus tomorrow, or if you were somehow or for some reason unable to communicate as to how what needs to happen in the business? Who would know what to do, where things are, how to pay vendors? Who would know what to do in your absence? What have you put in place for that to happen, for regular operations to continue if you were not available to do it yourself?
So what is your advice to those entrepreneurs out there who might be commingling their funds?
I'd say start cleaning it up right now. This may sound basic, but make sure that the money is separate. That's the big one. That's a really big one. Make sure that you have a bank account that is for the business and has the business name on it, has the business's tax identification number attached to it. That has, you know, there's that account, and then you have your own personal accounts. Make sure that the revenues for the business go into that account and that any of the funds that come out of that account are for the business. Now, that can include your salary or the owner's, you know, owner's distributions or owner's salaries or however, you know, it can be structured in various ways. But you want to make sure that that the transactions are very clean, that what's going in there goes into the business account are business funds. If you personally, for example, loan the business money or you take money out of your savings to help the business be sustainable, that's a loan, and that the business will have to pay that back to you later. But you just want to make sure that you're documenting these things and keeping track of these things so that, you know, when it comes time for the business to pay you back that loan money, it's very clear what the flow of the transactions were.
All right. Well, you know, I've heard you say time and time again that if you could give only one piece of advice to a business owner, you would say put your agreements in writing. Why is this such a critical part of getting one's business in order today?
Oh yeah, you know that's a big deal for me, and that is because I find too often that when someone does not want to follow through on a commitment that they've made, or you know a transaction is kind of going as the parties did not anticipate, one of the first things that that the person who wants to get out of the arrangement says is, "Well, we didn't have anything in writing." That is one of the first things they say. We didn't have anything in writing. And, you know, I mean, that is the fallback. And if you did have something in writing, even if it were something simple, but if you had something in writing, there would at least be something that a judge or an arbitrator could use to decide who's in the right, who's in the wrong, who should get paid, how much, and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, I know you've heard stories about that happening where, you know, there wasn't anything in writing, and then people mm-hmm. said, prove it. Prove that we had a deal and prove what the nature of the deal is. And that's what happens when you rely on verbal agreements. You're in a situation where, yes, the verbal agreement is enforceable under the law. Problem is you have to prove what it is. And that means you would need to have the time and the money and put in the effort in order to be able to do it. And sometimes it's at that point it may or may not be worth it to you.
All right. Well, are there any documents that are particularly important to get your business together, documents? In other words, which documents are high priority?
There are two categories of critical documents, two general categories. And in one category is that first that I mentioned with the organizational documents, and that is, you know, you're being formally set up with the state, and then having for an LLC, you would want to have what's called an operating agreement. And for a corporation, it would be bylaws, but it's a governing document that says this is how this company is operated. This is how the company is managed. This is how we make decisions. This is how we handle funds. It's an overall document that governs how the business is run. And then if there are multiple owners, and this is where a lot of people go wrong as well. You want to be sure that that your operating agreement talks about how you can get out of the deal. Like I said, particularly if there are multiple people who own the business. You want to have that exit strategy established on the front end when there is no friction, when things are going well and people are getting along. You want to get in writing what will happen if or when something goes wrong. What will happen if we don't like each other anymore? What happens if one of us just checks out of the business mentally and doesn't want to deal with it anymore? What is our process for getting out of this situation? How will we buy each other out? Who will pay what? Those are the kinds of things you want to establish early on, because let me tell you, when you wait until there's a problem, it becomes a much bigger problem than it otherwise would have been had it just been addressed earlier on. So that's the organizational document side, okay? Then there's the operational documents. These are the documents that I think most small business owners care about the most, and these are the things that help them run their business on a day-to-day basis. These are the, for example, if you run a retail store, what does your lease agreement say? Like, do you have the option to extend the term of your lease so that you can stay in the space for longer? If you do, you know, by when do you have to give the notice so that you can stay in the space and the landlord can't kick you out? You have to know these kinds of things, because if you're thriving in a place and, you know, everybody's coming to your store, everyone knows where you are, then you take a look at your lease and you realize that it's going to be up in, you know, the term's going to be over in 3 months. But you did have an option to extend, but you would have had to give that notice 6 months ago. That means you've missed that option, and the landlord has the right to kick you out at the end of the term. These are the kind of things that you want to look at. That's an operational document that is critical to the functioning of your business. So that's one example. As another example, let's say you are a consultant. You need to make sure that your engagement agreement with your clients is a solid document that addresses how you will be paid, what services you will perform, and, of course, how either party can terminate the agreement if it's not going the way it should, you know, should go. So I don't want to sound negative, but I'm an attorney, you know, so it's important for me to think about what can go wrong and to protect my clients from that, and that's what I do. So look at, again, the organizational documents and as well as your operating documents. Look at the documents you're using on a day-to-day basis. If you know they're shoddily put together and haven't protected you or have had you get burned in the past, take a look at them. Take the time to fix them. These are things you use over and over and over again. If you take the time, get it done right once, you can feel confident in your transactions as you move forward and use them time and time again.
All right. Well, Attorney Nebo, we know that no business is built and sustained in the long term without a great team. Who should every entrepreneur aim to have on their team by the end of 2016?
I, of course, think that that every small business owner should have an attorney on their team, but it may be for reasons different than folks might think. Even people who are starting out need to have an attorney on their team, because it adds credibility to your organization. It shows that though you may be small or though you may be starting out, you've put together a business system so that you are set up to actually succeed. So having an attorney on board and having that relationship before anything goes wrong or before you have any disputes is important, because you're developing a relationship with someone who you know, can be a partner with you as your business grows, and to whom you can go with questions or concerns or ideas on the front end so that you can plan and strategize for success. Again, you don't want to go looking for an attorney when you're in a bind. At that point, it's kind of late, and you're going to be scrambling and making choices in haste. You want to develop that relationship first or early on before you need that relationship, so that you know your critical documents are in order early on, and you're not later trying to clean up a mess. You know, which I often end up doing is cleaning up someone's mess. So definitely a business attorney. The other person would be, I'd say, an accountant or a bookkeeper. The money people are important. I don't do that, but I know that, you know, you get in, most of us get into business in order to make money, and you need to be able to keep track of those funds, keep track of your revenues, your profits, your losses, your margins and such, and need to have a clear understanding of how much it costs you to provide the services and or products that you're providing. And, you know, the numbers are important. Lastly, I'd say the key team member for someone, a small business owner this year, would be an insurance agent. And, you know, and I don't mean just the insurances that we know are common, like homeowners insurance and such. I'm talking about making sure that you've got business insurance policies in place, and not just for the physical assets of the business. There may also be human assets that need to be protected. There may be some key, I think it's called key man insurance. They may have changed the name of it, but insurance for over the principals of your business, the people who are really critical to the functioning of it, you can get insurance policies on those people. So if you're in a business where there's partners and you know, multiple owners and they're active owners and critical to the business, you may want to see about getting insurance that will help you cover in the event there is some type of loss associated with that.
All right. Well, let's talk about right now once again. What would be a good first step for someone to take if they're ready to make a significant change in their business? In other words, what is something that a person can do right away this week, even today, to get their business in order?
You know, SparkPlug, it goes back to those documents. It goes back to evaluating what you have right now and, you know, taking an honest look at how you've been handling your operations and knowing that you need to take care of certain things, or that you need to call someone like myself to help you with those things. So I would say to give you something concrete. If someone is running a business and there are multiple owners in that business, I would say that today, just look and see if you ever had an operating agreement prepared for your LLC, if it's an LLC, or look and see if you ever had bylaws prepared if you're running a corporation. And from there, I would say you've got to establish a plan for getting in writing what the nature of your agreement is with the people who own that business. And you may have had set something up 10 years ago or so, and at this point it's dated. You know, maybe different partners have put in different amounts of money or taken out different amounts of money, and none of that has been properly documented, and you need to go ahead and put that in you know, memorialize that in writing to reflect what things are right now versus what they may have been years ago when you first started the business. So that would be something concrete that owners of multiple owners businesses could do. Another thing would be if you're running an operation where you have a really important employee, someone who is really critical to the success of your business, if you don't have some type of agreement with them, like a non-compete agreement, you know, they could leave tomorrow and go to one of your competitors. And so take a look at your operation, take a look at the people you have in it. If you have any stars, any key folks that you really want to keep around, it may be time to put an employment agreement in place with them where, you know, they're getting something out of the deal and it's clear what they're getting out of it, but you're also getting the benefit of them not sharing any of your confidential information with anyone. You're also getting the benefit of them not competing by going to one of your competitors or leaving and starting their own business within the same geographical area and taking some of your people with them. These are, you know, you start looking at your business just with an eye of, okay, where are the gaps here? What do I need to what do I know needs to be addressed, or what could really have my business fall apart if I don't protect it or put it in writing.
All right. Well, we only have a few minutes left. So, Attorney Nebo, before we bring this interview to a close, now we're going to give out your information here in just a minute. Tell our listening audience today why you decided to advertise Nebo Law in Atlanta's People You Need to Know magazine.
Oh, I thought it was just a wonderful opportunity. I saw the work that you did in the past, and I thought it was just of such great quality, just the actual publication itself. But on top of that, the quality of the individuals who were in the publication was also very impressive. And these are some people that I know of, people that I've go to conferences, and, I'm into improving as a person and improving my business as well. So I go to different conferences around the city, and, and I've been exposed to some of the people who are featured in your publications, and I just thought it would be great to be a part of it. So to see the work, to see the end product, and like I said, the people, the quality of the product, as well as the quality of the individuals in it, I just thought it would be a wonderful opportunity, and I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to it, to seeing it in its completion for this year.
All right, which is going to be late next week. And finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
Okay, there are, I'll give a couple of key ways. Number one, we have our office phone number, which is 404-635-6326. Again, 404-635-6326, and the last four digits spell out Nebo, if that makes it easier to remember. And then we have an email address that could be used, and that is contact@nebolaw.com. So that's contact@nebolaw.com. That's N-E-B as in boy, O-L-A-W.com.
All right. What about any kind of social media?
We're on Twitter at Nebo Law, and I'm on LinkedIn personally. So if anyone wanted to reach out to me that way, that would be fine. My name is spelled T-A-N-Y-A, and the last name, of course, is Nebo, N-E-B-O.
All right. Attorney Tanya Nebo, managing partner with Nebo Law, thanks for spending some of your most valuable and precious time with us today.
Thanks for having me, Spark Plug. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines a brighter spotlight on women business owners right here in Metro Atlanta. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. We'd love to hear from you, so please email us at sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer and my lovely wife, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another beautiful job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, America's ambassador for women business owners, reminding you that People You Need to Know magazine shines the spotlight on women business owners like no other company on earth. When you're ready to bring your brand to life, give us a call at 770-460-5995. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio.